morning. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 7, we'll be continuing on from last week. I'm going to give myself more room to breathe. That's better. 1 Corinthians 7. And we are going to pick things up at verse 25. First Corinthians 7, verse 25. Now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think it is good for you to remain as you are. Are you married? Do not seek a divorce. Are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned, and if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. What I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. From now on, those who had wives should live as if they had none, those who mourn as if they did not, those who are happy as if they were not, those who buy something as if it were not theirs, to keep those who use the things of this world as if not engrossed in them. For this world, in its present form, is passing away. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone thinks he is acting improperly towards the virgin he is engaged to, and if she is getting on in years and he feels he ought to marry, he should do as he wants. He is not sinning. They should get married. But the man who has settled the matter in his own mind, who is under no compulsion, but has control over his own will, and he has made up his mind not to marry the virgin, this man also does the right thing. So then, he who marries the virgin does right, but he who does not marry her does even better. A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord. In my judgment, she is happier if she stays as she is. And I think that I too have the Spirit of God. So last week David was preaching on the first half of 1 Corinthians 7, which he titled Christians and Marriage. And I'm just going to continue that theme on this week. Because in the whole of 1 Corinthians 7, Paul answers questions the Corinthian church wrote to him about. 7 verse 1, now for the matters you wrote about. These matters were about marriage, how Christians should think about marriage, particularly in regard to some specific issues and circumstances facing the Corinthian church at the time. But all of this is relevant to us today as well as then, as Paul gives advice in marriage to different groups of people in different sets of circumstances. And if we were to break down the topics Paul covers, we would see seven main topics in this chapter about Christians and marriage. There's plenty to say in other places, but here there are seven areas. Firstly, in verses 1 to 7, Paul gives advice to the married. Paul teaches that sex within marriage is good and important and shouldn't be neglected, but also that prayer should be a priority for the Christian couple. Secondly, he gives advice to the unmarried, verses 8 and 9. Staying single is a good thing, he says, but it's also fine to get married. And it's better to get married and have sex within that marriage than to burn with passion, Paul says, lusting and sinning sexually outside marriage. But you have a choice. Get married, don't get married. Either is fine. Both states have their advantages. Thirdly, in verses 10 to 11, should a Christian couple divorce? The answer is no. Then verse 12 to 16, there's another issue. Should a believer divorce their unbelieving husband or wife? Again, the answer is no, But should your unbelieving husband or wife leave you because you're a Christian, and it's important it's for that reason, not because you're being a jerk, then you're not at fault in that case. Sometimes people use that excuse just because they're being a jerk. But sometimes if you're, you know what Paul's saying, look, if you're married to somebody who's Christian, who's not a Christian, prayer to live with you, keep going on that. Then fifthly, advice for everyone, verse 12 to 17 to 24, stay as you are. Circumcised, uncircumcised, slave, free, married, unmarried, you don't need to change your status just because you become a Christian. There's not something more spiritual about one state or another. All these 5 points so far, David covered last week in part one, we'll say, Christians and marriage. This week in part two, we'll cover the sixth and seventh points that Paul makes, namely advice for people considering marriage, verses 25 to 38, and that's what we were reading this morning, and then some advice for widows in the final few verses. So firstly, we're going to have a look at Paul's advice for people considering marriage, verses 25 to 38, and we'll spend the majority of our time this morning on this, because Paul has a lot to say to those considering marriage, and I think we can break it down a bit further into four areas. First of all, in verses 25 to 28, Paul's talking about what to do in the current crisis. Stay as you are, he's saying, but you're free to choose. We'll look at more details. Then he continues and says what to do in all circumstances, verses 29 to 31. Don't get caught up in the here and now. Thirdly, he says, consider how you will serve God, verses 32 to 35. And then think it through and do what you want, verses 36 to 38. That's Paul's four bits of advice for people considering marriage. And we're going to look at those now. Firstly, what to do in the current crisis. Read with me again at verse 25. Now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for you to remain as you are. Are you married? Do not seek a divorce. Are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned, and if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. Paul initially directs his comments to a current crisis that's going on in Corinth and what young unmarried people should do in these circumstances regarding marriage. He directs his comments directly to the virgins, verse 25, now about virgins. Now, virgins, whether male or female, are by definition people who've never had sex. But Paul is really referring here to people who are not married, who have young people that have never been married and are therefore still virgins, assuming, of course, they've kept themselves from sexual immorality outside marriage. So Paul here is talking mainly to young people, people of marriageable age, who are thinking about it for the first time, as most young people do eventually. But if you've never been married, it also applies very much to you. But in Corinth at the time, there was a further thing to consider beyond that will I, won't I question. There was a crisis. Verse 26, Paul refers to the present crisis facing the church. And what it was, we don't know exactly. Perhaps it was a period of strong and sustained persecution against the church that made life really tough and perhaps dangerous. But whatever it is, there's a crisis in Corinth making life tough, and in such circumstances, it's right and wise to ask the question, is it the right time to get married? Should I get married in these circumstances? Is this the right, appropriate time to have and raise children? And Paul says in his view it's good not to marry under those circumstances. Verse 26, because of the present crisis, I think it is good for you to remain as you are. You see, there are seasons and times in life when it is wise not to marry. Times of war, famine, severe persecution and such like should definitely raise the question as to the wisdom of marriage at that time. And whatever this crisis was in Corinth, it seemed to be one of those times. It's probably not a crisis we're going to face ourselves soon. But sometimes we go through times in our lives when life is just particularly tough and complicated for us. For one reason or another, personal reasons, personal circumstances. And it would be wise, perhaps, not to get married under those circumstances. We need to be wise about the situation we find ourselves in. But in any event, we are free to decide. Verse 27, but if you do marry, you have not sinned, and if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Although Paul's saying he thinks it's best not to marry under the current crisis, you're not sinning if you do. He's really explicit. If you marry, you've not sinned. You're free to decide, free to marry, free not to marry. It's up to you. So why does Paul think it's best not to marry under the current crisis when, morally speaking, virgins are free to marry? Verse 28. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you this. This is both a specific comment in regards to the current crisis and a general comment he'll come back to later in the passage and we'll go into more detail on. But for now, his point is simply to say, marriage makes life more complicated. There can be difficulties. And in the current crisis in Corinth, Paul wants to spare them from any further trouble. Getting married in the current crisis, We might just make life even more difficult than it already is, even more painful, which is why Paul says they should stay as they are. But it's no sin to get married, it's a choice, but Paul wants them to make that choice with open eyes. So that's what to do in the current crisis, verse 25 to 28, stay as you are. If you're married, stay married. If you're not married, it might be an idea to stay single, but it's no sin if you do get married. It's up to you. So now, secondly, the question is, what should we do under all circumstances, crisis or not? Verses 29 to 31, Paul kind of explains his logic here. He says, what I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they had none. Those who mourn as if they did not. Those who are happy as if they were not. Those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of this world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. Paul explains his advice about marriage in the current crisis by talking about this attitude we should have in general towards the everyday of our lives. The time is short. If we think about it, we know that life is short. The older we get, the faster the years go by, the time we have on earth is limited. And in the light of eternity, the time before Jesus returns is also short. This time on earth is such a short time in the big picture. So don't get caught up in it. And specifically, don't get caught up with marriage, looking for marriage, being fulfilled in marriage. Don't get caught up with mourning or seeking pleasure or material things and shopping or anything else in this world because it's not going to last. Don't get caught up in the world because it's in the world that's present form is passing away. It won't be long in the light of eternity before the world and the things in the world are gone. When Jesus returns to the new heavens and new earth, for all those who trust that there will be no more marriage. Marriage is just for now. It won't exist in heaven. There'll be no mourning. The things that make us mourn, that make us sad, that make us cry will not exist in heaven. The world in its present form is passing away. And we need to live our lives in all circumstances with this end in view, with heaven in view. Now, that doesn't mean that we neglect our marriages. We serve God in our marriages. God will hold us to account for our marriages. Don't misunderstand this. It doesn't mean we don't mourn. It's right and natural and unfortunately a part of life to mourn. It doesn't mean we shouldn't be happy or buy things or take part in this world. But we shouldn't get too caught up in it all. That this is all we see. We need to have the end in view, whether we're going through something really good or something really bad. We need to see beyond that, to see looking towards heaven, looking towards the end of our lives, looking towards what really matters. That God is bigger than this. Bigger than the things that we get that make us happy, distract us. Bigger than the things that make us sad and get us down. We need to see through that. We need to always have our eye on what really matters. Serving God, honouring Him, living for what will last in all eternity. And that's why Paul's third bit of advice to those considering marriage is to consider how it will impact your service of God. Consider how you'll serve God, says Paul in verses 32 to 35. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. We don't misunderstand what Paul's saying here. He's not saying marriage is bad or sinful. If you're thinking about marriage, Paul's already saying, you know, it's up to you. If you haven't been married and you want to get married, then get married. If you don't want to get married, stay single. It's up to you, but be realistic about what marriage involves and think about marriage in the light of eternity and serving God in this life. You see, what Paul's saying here is that marriage is not the be-all and end-all. There are benefits, of course, to being married, and Sarah's not even in the room, so I don't have to say that, but there are also benefits to being single. Now, these benefits are different to the ones you might think. The world around us tells us that the benefits of staying single are that you can do what you want, go where you want, do as you please, you're free. You're not tied down, no responsibilities, you're carefree. But that's not at all what Paul is saying. He's saying that if you're single, you will have unique opportunities to serve God in a way married people cannot. The freedom of singleness is not to be used for selfishness, but rather that freedom is to be used to serve God. Verse 32, an unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. Verse 34, an unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. If you're single, you can devote your time and energy and freedom that you have as a single person to serving God without distraction. There are usually less responsibilities, less competing demands, less complications when you're single. And this means you can use that freedom to serve God. On the other hand, verse 32, a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. Verse 34, a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. When you're married, you've got more responsibilities, more concerns. You don't just have yourself to look after, but a husband or wife, and usually children. And a husband's not just concerned about pleasing God, but also pleasing his wife. And a wife is not just concerned about pleasing God, but pleasing her husband too. Now, to be clear, pleasing your husband or wife and pleasing God are not necessarily two different things. Part of serving God, if you're married, is loving and caring for your husband or wife. So what's the issue? It's just that being married makes serving God much more complicated. There are lots more things to do, matters to attend to, people to care for, relationship to develop. The time you have left for serving God in church, for instance, is so much less than when you're married and have a family than when you're single. And normally when you're married, children follow too, and they're great, but they take up all your time, and I only have one. All this is to say, singleness is actually a good thing. You see, too often we idolise marriage. We think it's the be-all and end-all. The great ending to the film is when, you know, the single people find a husband or wife and they all live happily ever after. And that's, you know, singleness is seen as an inferior state, but not for Paul. Singleness is a good thing, and he wants us to see that. Now, don't get me wrong, marriage is good. I love being married. There are great blessings to being married, but singleness is good too. I know it can be hard, but it's a good thing. You won't serve God any better by being married, and you won't serve him any better by being single, but you will definitely serve him differently, and you need to think that through. So what will we say then? If you've never been married, should you get married? The answer is, you're free to decide, but make the decision with your own eyes, with your eyes open. See, getting married has many blessings, but it makes life more complicated. And if you want to serve God, you need to bear that in mind. But the key thing I want you to take away as we think about this, maybe you're not considering marriage yourself, but as we think through these issues, we need to think there are different blessings and different challenges to being single and being married. And so whatever state you're in, try to see the blessings of your current state and take advantage of them for serving God. All of us are single at the start of our lives. Many of us will be married for part of our lives. And about half of those who marry will be single again for the remainder of their lives when their partner dies. Each of these stages has unique challenges and unique opportunities to serve God in a particular way. Try not to wish away the position you're in. If you're single, thank God for the freedom it gives you and use that to serve Him. If you're married, thank God for the blessings it brings and use that to serve Him. Be content where you are and try to see how these circumstances you're in, even though they can be difficult ones, allow you to serve God in a unique way. So when considering marriage, think about how you're going to serve God and how marriage and singleness will help or hinder you in that. Verse 32 to 35. But after all is said and done, Paul says it's up to you. Think it through and do what you want. Verses 36 to 38. You're free to decide. Read with me verse 36 again. If anyone thinks he is acting improperly toward the virgin he is engaged to, and if she is getting on in years and he feels he ought to marry, he should do as he wants. He is not sinning. They should get married. But the man who has settled the matter in his own mind, who is under no compulsion, but has control over his own will, and who has made up his mind not to marry the virgin, this man also does the right thing. So then, he who marries the virgin does right, but he who does not marry her does even better. Paul's talking here about a specific situation, but the principles apply to anyone considering marriage today. He talks to people who are engaged to be married, but are toying with whether to marry or not. Now, engagement then, which is sometimes called betrothal in some translations, was a very different thing to what it is today. Today, a couple go out for a while, the guy proposes, the girl accepts, the guy buys the girl an expensive ring, and they start planning a wedding. They're engaged. But back then, your parents often arranged the marriage, and it might have been arranged for a very long time. It might be, I think, a bit like Sarah and I making a deal with Jude and David now, that Noah and Eve should get married, and you know that wouldn't happen for a very long time, and obviously the arrangement could be there for years, waiting for the time when they would be old enough. And I think that's the kind of thing that's going on here. And so Paul speaks firstly to the man who's been putting off this marriage but thinks it's not right to. He feels he's acting improperly towards this girl, by which I don't think there's any hint of anything sexual about that. I think Paul simply means this girl is waiting for marriage. The parents have arranged that marriage to this particular guy, and he's kept her waiting. And her biological clock is ticking. And once you get past a certain age, having children is a lot more difficult. The clock ticks faster for a woman. So this man thinks it's not fair to keep this girl waiting around. On top of that, he feels he ought to marry. And quite simply, he wants to marry. Well, what does Paul say to such a person? He should do as he wants. He's not sinning. They should get married. So according to Paul, if you want to get married, get married. Although remember, he's talking to virgins here, people who have never married, people who are free to marry. But then Paul speaks to a different kind of man. He doesn't want to get married, but he wonders if that's okay. You know, he has settled the matter in his own mind, says Paul. He's thought it through. He's clear in his own mind that this is what he wants. This is the right thing to do. He's under no compulsion. He has control over his own will. He knows what he wants. No one's forcing his hand. It's his own decision. He has made up his mind not to marry the virgin. What does Paul say to such a man? This man also does the right thing. So according to Paul, if you don't want to get married, then don't get married. Stay single, do what you want. So this question of whether you should get married or not is not a right and wrong decision, assuming, of course, that both of you are single, have never been married before, and are both Christians. We can say that because Paul's talking specifically to virgins here, people who have never been married, when he gives this freedom to choose. See, there are situations where it is wrong to get married. If you've been divorced, for instance, or the other person's not a Christian. But for young people thinking about marriage for the first time and weighing up whether singleness or marriage is better, Paul says, it's up to you. Think it through. Think about it in terms of serving God. Make an informed decision. And then, do what you want. Do what you think is best. Paul sums it up in verse 38. So then he who marries the virgin does right, but he who does not marry her does even better. Whether you choose to stay single or married, it's up to you, assuming, as we said, both of you are free to marry in the first place. Well, after talking to the virgins about marriage, Paul has some advice for widows, verse 39 to 40, also thinking about marriage. A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord. In my judgment, she is happier if she stays as she is, and I think that I too have the Spirit of God. What Paul says here applies both to widows and widowers. Marriage is for life. When a couple get married, the vows made are until death parts them. So when one partner dies, the marriage is over, and there's no sin in getting married again if your husband or wife has died. You're free to do so. But you should think through very carefully whether that's the best thing. You can get remarried if you want, so long as the other person's a Christian and free to marry themselves. But you might find that you're happier staying as you are. Certainly that's Paul's view. But again, it's up to you. Think it through. Do what you think best. Either is fine. In all these matters, Paul's instructions about how to decide whether to get married or not, I think apply to Christian decision making more generally. A lot of Christians struggle to know what the right thing is to do in both small and big decisions. I kind of go around in circles on it a bit. Should I marry this person or not? Should I take this job or that job? What subject should I study at school? How should I serve God in church? What should I do about X, Y, or Z? What does God want me to do about this thing or that? Making decisions is hard sometimes, but I think Christians sometimes make decisions even harder for themselves. But they say, oh, what's the right thing to do? You know, what does God want me to do? And that's a good question to ask. But we should look and see what the Bible says. If, you know, we should follow what it says. We shouldn't sin. But in terms of what job we get, I mean, the Bible doesn't tell us which job to get, as long as it's not one that's being dishonest or doing anything sinful. You know, there are principles there that we need to follow. Because in a lot of these decisions, Christians get their knickers in a twist about looking for God's leading. And lots of things are attempted that maybe aren't all that biblical as they look for some sign. Paul, I think, is a lot more practical. Think it through. Think through what's best. And as long as you're bearing in mind how you can serve God, not just being selfish, and you're not disobeying anything God says, then do what you want. Do what you think is best. Paul doesn't tell them to wait for a sign as to whether this person is the one for them. He says think it through and do what you think is right under the circumstances. Either choice is fine. And so when we face big decisions, the best thing we can do is ask God for wisdom. Wisdom to think it through, to know what's best, to weigh it up, to weigh up the advice that we get. There isn't always a right and wrong decision. Marriage is good, still staying single. So we need wisdom to work out what's best for us in our particular set of circumstances. I mean, there are things about which there is a clear right and wrong. Christians should only marry Christians. If you're married, you shouldn't divorce. If you're divorced, you shouldn't marry someone else. These things the Bible is clear about. But who to marry, when to marry, whether to marry or not, there's no clear command, and so you're free to decide. And in these circumstances, we need wisdom. We need wisdom as we read God's word. We get wisdom as we read God's word, praying and thinking it through, asking him to give us wisdom. And often that wisdom comes through asking advice from other Christians, from older, wiser Christians. As we pray, God will help us think through the decisions we make. May God give us wisdom, each of us, as we make decisions in all areas of our lives, whatever they may be, whether it's marriage or something else. So, to sum up what we said, what's Paul's advice for those considering marriage? In the current crisis, stay as you are, but you're free to choose. In all circumstances, don't get caught up in the here and now. Marriage is not the be-all and end-all. When you're thinking about marriage, consider how you will serve God. Make sure that's in your head, that you're not just looking for selfishness, that you're actually thinking, how will I serve God, being single or being married? And then think it through and do what you want. It's up to you. You're free to decide. And what about Paul's advice for widows? You're free to marry someone else as long as they're a Christian, but you might be happier staying as you are. You're not sinning by marrying again, and you're not sinning certainly by staying single. But it might not be wise to marry again. It's not always easy. It will certainly make life more complicated, and you need to think that through carefully. But you're free to decide. And in all these things, Paul wants us to learn contentment in the situations we find ourselves in. And whatever state we're in, whatever we do, Paul wants us to focus not on this life, but on the next. He wants us to focus our minds and desires and lives on serving God. Not getting caught up in the here and now, but serving God, having that end in view. So whether you are single or married, learn to be content where you are. Learn to serve God in the situation you find yourself in. We've talked a lot about the choice, doing what you want. Not always a choice. Singleness is not always a choice. Many people find themselves single against their own will through the death of a partner or just never meeting someone in the first place. And I know singleness can be hard. But it also has its benefits. And Paul wants us to see those and not think of it as some second-class state. We're not to think of marriage as a second-class state either. It has its benefits too, as well as its added complications. So whatever our status, we need to learn contentment in it and choose to use the current circumstances we find ourselves in to serve God as best we can. And I know we've covered a lot of ground this morning. I hope you've been able to keep up. And I haven't been able to go into all the details. So please come and chat to me after if you've got questions or these things are big issues for you. But for now, let's pray and ask God to give us wisdom and contentment in our situations. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us about the big decisions of our lives and that you give us guidance in all these things. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to be content in the situations that we're in. We thank you, Lord, that each state is a gift from you, and we pray that you would help us, whether we are single or married, that you would help us to see the blessings that you have given us in our current state, that you help us to see how we have opportunities to serve you in the situation we find ourselves in, and we pray that we would use the opportunities that we have to serve you, and above all, that we would be content where we are and use our lives to serve you through them all. We pray that as people make decisions about marriage or about other things that of which there's no command, Lord, we pray you help us and give us wisdom. Help us to seek after you for wisdom. Wisdom from your word, wisdom from other believers. And we pray that you would give us wisdom in all the decisions we have to make. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.